100 Word Stories.
Hello out there, everyone, and Dayquil. It's supposed to be, Woo! I should start again. Fuck it, I won't. Hey, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. At one a day until the day I die. It's Sunday, weekly challenge. I've got a cold. I really wanted to go. I was given tickets to the soccer game last night downtown, but I started feeling bad. And then I'm like, I don't feel like that. Then, you know, Gina's like, oh my God, Texas A&M, it's going to be another ESPN thing, but we only have one of those. So it's like, all right, I go to the Best Buy that's just down the street, grab a Chromecast, get it all working. All because she said, doesn't think I can do it. You know, don't tell me something's impossible, man. You know, like these weekly challenges. You know, one a day until the day I die.com. I'm alive. Let's do a story. Okay? So we got a whole bunch of stories. A bunch of y'all out there do this thing too. So, first up, John Musico. The topic is fork. I should probably mention that, otherwise it would be like, why the hell are they talking about forks? I'll ramble some more later. Let's get John on the line here.
Unseen Forks in the Road by John Musico. At the helm, I gazed ahead, fixed on my planned destination. To verify that I was indeed holding a straight, steady course, I turned to inspect the whitewash behind the boat. Incredibly, my path had been instead serpiginous, weaving to and fro. An epiphany drenched me, like a bucket of cold water. We look ahead at the next small step, feeling that we are the captains of our destiny. However, if we look back, way back, all evidence is to the contrary. So, when things don't go as you planned, remember, they never actually did. So don't beat yourself up.
Thank you, John Musico. Serpiginous. That's the word of the day, man. That would have been a cool topic. I need to stop picking these wimpy, simple, one-syllable topics that are common words that you can twist any way you want and really put the hammer down. Maybe for 2015, that's going to be the goal. Whacked out words. Not. You see, there's this thing called the Daily Dash. Some folks do this thing in Second Life, like it's 6 in the morning and 6 in the evening. And usually they pick these fucked up SAT words that, yeah, I know the meaning of them, but really? I'm going to force a story around that? Bite my ass. You know, for a while, they had some really good ones that I think the topic ought to be like a springboard at a pool where it offers you the opportunity to be, you know, what you want, to write what you want, as opposed to force you into what's going, you know, everyone's going to write on this thing. You know, a word that just forces you, like Patsy. Everyone's going to write about JFK. I don't know. Let's get moving to Jeffrey. Let's see what he's got.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, if the case may be, to everyone. This is Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 437 on the topic of fork. I've got two stories for you. My first story is called Two Paths Diverged. Neil Young once opined that if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter which road you travel. One day, while hiking in the woods, I decided to put that view to the test. When I came to a fork in the path, I flipped a coin to decide which to take. Heads I went left, tails right. One time I got heads 6 times in a row and found myself back at the same intersection, 2 hours after I left it. Usually, though, I got an assortment of lefts and rights, leading me to interesting vistas and less well-trodden paths. Of course, a good thing can still go to unfortunate extremes. Enough random choices and one forgets where one started, or where one is currently located relative to one's car. All of which is to say, if you find this note, please send help. I'm lost. And my second story is called Medium Rare. Freddy Boulier was an intrepid explorer. His latest interest was the Zampani tribe, a fiercely private group in the Amazonian jungle. Freddy heard they practiced cannibalism, though he was skeptical. Accompanied by a native translator, Freddy made the trek into the jungle to visit the tribe. In a jungle clearing, the Zampani danced around a simmering pot of water. "Welcome," said the chief, through the aid of the translator. "We heard a brave explorer had come to visit us." 4 burly tribesmen picked him up and placed him in the pot of water. Freddy started to babble, trying to avoid becoming that night's entree. When he finally stopped, the chief asked the translator if Freddy had finished speaking. The translator, eagerly awaiting fresh meat for dinner, replied, "Stick a fork in him. He's done." Sadly, the joke didn't translate well, and the tribe ate twice as well that evening. That's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
That's what I needed this morning. A little bite of cannibalism. Thank you, Jeffrey. No, the blood wasn't for the stories. The blood is just for how I'm feeling. Ate a little bit. Coffee. Gallons and gallons of juice. That stuff's supposed to be the magic bullet. Never works. You should try this. You should try that. You should go bowling. People come up with the dumbest advice for how to cure the common cold. Yeah, if there ever was like a cure for it, someone would market crap based on it. Of course, people do, and it all turns out to be a crock of shit. I'm sure that's somewhere in a Walgreens, as seen on TV, crock of shit. I don't know, dump it on your head. You know, there needs to be a dump an outhouse bucket on your head challenge. And it would be for plumbing in the Appalachians or something, or raising awareness for the next goddamn Hollywood sequel of a crappy movie. What? Oh, I should probably do the next one. Let's go with Richard and see what he has in store for us.
Good morning. So, on the subject of Doctor Who's assistants, does canine count? This is George's story, part 69. It's called Indirection. The fact remained that George still had no idea where exactly this particular godforsaken place was. None of the street signs he saw were particularly helpful, and he found himself driving aimlessly around in the hope of discovering a road that would lead him out. Arriving at a fork in the road, he debated whether to go right or left, finally opting for left since, up until now, he'd seldom been right. Something about his surroundings seemed familiar. He felt the stirrings of memory. He knew this place. He was sure of it. Turning a corner, he stopped dead. And here's story number 2. It's called Cutlery Creation. Grandpa Jack emerged from his workshop, beaming with pride. "I did it," he exclaimed. "The first sentient robot. And created entirely from washing machine parts and cutlery." Sure enough, his unique creation was a wonder to behold. Although I was more than a little concerned that Grandpa had chosen to use steak knives for the robot's fingers. Are you sure it's safe? I asked, nodding towards the twitching knives. Of course I'm safe, replied the robot. Wow, it speaks, I blurted. Indeed it does, said Grandpa. But I wouldn't believe a word it says. I gave it a forked tongue. And my last story this week is called Buffet. I hate buffets. I hate the food, pastry-laden morsels of heartburn, served at a bacteria-loving room temperature, prodded and poked by the sweaty fingers of those in the queue in front. And the queue, oh, the endless, mindless, shuffling irritation of it all. Then, with laden, soggy paper plate, you juggle with wine, canapes, and conversation, all the while praying desperately not to drop the whole lot. Rotten food, warm wine, useless plates, and dreadful conversation. Could it possibly get any worse? Oh, yes. Because no one has ever mastered the breakable, bendable, utterly uncommendable horrors of the puny, pathetic, plastic fork. That's all I've got for you this week. No, you can't have any more, because I've got no more for you. Have a good week. Until next time, goodbye.
I like that robot one. Thank you, Richard. I got me a tinny. I got a tinny cat who's standing here, petting her butt. Get your butt. Yeah, get your butt. Now pin your tummy. Stretchies. Oh, kitty who capsize. Meow, 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 meow. And get your little chinny too. Oh, man. I feel like dog ass. How do you feel this morning? Let me know how you feel in the comments. No, you people never would do that. It doesn't matter. Just whatever. I mean, really? You write a story, and then other people have a whole bunch of them. Let them know, too. The ones who comment and let's say, hey, I like that one. Hey, that was cool. Hey, you could have done this. That kind of stuff, helping each other out, limping across the finish line, man, and getting ready for helping train for the next marathon. That's the spirit of it. I don't need to leave a comment because, of course, I'm doing my rambling here. So, start your own damn podcast. I forgot who's the next story. Oh, it's Tom, and he says he has updates, so let's roll.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And last night the Vengeance got out of the Subaru and ate a couple of coyotes. And I've got updates for you. Movement. Chelsea is a mere story from entering the top 40. John displaces Linda with 40 stories. Needs just 4 more to enter the lair of the Golden Monkeys. Serendipity moves ahead of young Danny Dwyer with 134 tales of mystery and intrigue. Chris, don't call him late to dinner, Monroe. Retakes the Brad Pitt chair as a reigning 13th monkey. And I've got 2 stories this evening. The first, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 66. Listen here, Duke God. Call me Marion. Yes, Marion, I'm not going to allow my son. Could you please hold these? What? They're spaceships. Spaceships. Don't drop them. There are people inside. Mother continued. To be put in that level of danger. Correct, Mrs. Parsons. Which is why I'm here. You have arrived at the fork in the road. One of my divinical duties to my 500 followers, both Bannister and Smith let out a low whistle, is to ensure the prophet safely fulfills his destiny. And to that end, I will be joining your company. And story 2. a postmodern culinary report 3. After evaluating both the American and Japanese sporks, I can safely say what's wrong with their design structure. In both cases, the spork is not fork enough. In the case of the American spork, the curved tines impedes piercing, and the gaps allow fluid leakage. In the case of the Nippon spork, the tines rest under the spoon, allowing parallel protrusion. Sadly, without careful maneuvering during the slurping action, one is likely to jab a lip or the gum line. So the most elegant alteration would be retractable tines, a reverse vampire tap forking spork. Humbly submitted, Landis Laxmore. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. I don't know if I'm supposed to change that page or not. I don't know. I'm horribly confused. I'm just realizing now that I'm probably forgetting to rebalance the audio on these so that you can hear me. My voice is pretty weak, but I forget to do it most weeks anyway. So that's okay. It's not like you listen to these rambles. I have no idea what I'm saying at this point. What do you think, Tinny? You don't care. You're a cat. You're cleaning up. You're cleaning all the stinkies off of you. So, I was really looking forward to going to the soccer game downtown. I was given tickets by a co-worker, and they were like, I can't use them. Here you go. And I was already, and I was like, sneeze, sneeze, sneeze. It's like, oh, crap. All I did in the morning was go to get groceries, and apparently whoever handled them or fondled them, just, you should have stayed in it. So we'll see if I stay at home tomorrow and quote, work, or if I just out and out do a sick day. I've got 3 self-declared sick days before my time rolls over on the 10th. What do you think? So, let's go with serendipity.
A fork of lightning flickered on the horizon. A storm was coming, and it was going to be a big one. She shivered, pulling the bedclothes over her head, waiting for the fury to come. Her big brother used to mock her fear of thunderstorms. Don't be such a sissy, he'd laugh. Until the night the storm took him, screaming, to his death. Father, mother, all our family, all were taken, one by one, storm by storm. And now, the storm was coming for her too. Distant thunder rumbled as she burrowed deeper under the sheets.
Thank you, Serendipity. And yeah, I forgot to level the last audio. I'm going to forget to do this one. Wow. This must sound like Mumble City today. And the sad part is, I'm recording these a lot longer than I usually do. So it's going to be even more Mumble City. I can't even get to the fucking point. It's kind of cool, though. So far, folks have done Forks in the Road, Forks of Lightning. We got a good variety of the word fork. And that's what I hope for when I pick a topic that's a word that has multiple meanings and people don't just go for the easy one. Although, when Halloween comes, there's going to be the goblins and witches and ghouls. Blah, 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 blah. Maybe I should just... I know that I've got the Mesopotamians in there. I've tacked on a few. Danny was like, oh, I can't come up with it, so I've got nothing. It's like, okay, I've got nothing. There. That's a topic. You see how it works? As soon as you give up, I pick it. Okay, Spade hasn't given up. He's back. Let's all give Spade a warm welcome and then some cold medicine.
Good evening. Tonight, for your listening entertainment, we have another 100-word story based on the prompt of Fork. It's called Eye Candy. I do hope you enjoy it. Here it is. When he was but a wee baby, Mama decided it was time he learned to feed himself. So she set a bowl of macaroni and cheese in front of him and placed a fork in his hand. With innocent delight, he proceeded to thrust that fork directly into Mama's eye. One-eyed Mama, as she's now known, swore an oath that this child would never be given a fork again. And so it is. To this day, he eats without a fork, or a knife for that matter, just a spoon. After all, spoons make tidy work of extracting eyeballs.
Thank you, Spade. Not only was that story lovely, I gotta remember to put the... You included the link to the music, right? I think. So, man, that... The music helps the setting. Wow. Of course, it makes me realize that when I do my stories every day, I should pick music or background sounds or effects that enhance the storytelling, and that takes effort, so I don't. But it makes me appreciate when you put the effort into it and build up a soundscape of wonders and miracles. Chris Mooney Singh, his pieces for the Foreign Madam and White Yogi that have been running in parallel, you know, he's been editing and cleaning stuff up. He puts in immersive music that sets the tone. And I just get jealous. You know, I don't put any effort into it. I just get spiteful and jealous and grouchy and mean and whatever. Then I, you know, make up for it by saying nice things on this. So, but the effort is appreciated and cool, and I liked it. And next up we have Muncie. I appreciate the effort he puts into it. It's cool. I like it. See, I could just say that all day.
Hello, Desert Bluffs. Muncie here, with a new nickname for you and a new sponsor. And may a smiling god stare down at you. Are you ready for a story? Because called or uncalled, a story shall come. The Chef by Christopher Monroe. His massive eyebrows furrow as he throws himself body and soul into his work. Chef's hat set low upon his brow, mustache twitching in concentration as he slaves in his kitchen. So devoted to what he does that it has become all that he is. Did he once have a name? Bjorn? Benny? It's lost to him now, in the haze of food and creation. But it's all worthwhile in the end. He's the best there is at what he does, and such delicacies he creates. But what utensil to use to sup upon his grand creations? Fork, 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 do 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 do. Book an escalator at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's it for me, Desert Bluffs, and have an amazing day. No, have the most amazing day, because if your day isn't amazing, you shall rue it. You shall rue the day. Start ruling!
Oh, you had me. Oh, man. Thank you, Muncie. Oh, did I hate those Desert Bluffs episodes. I gave up on Night Vale for a month or two, and then it had to be pointed out, no, Cecil's back. And it's like, oh, okay. And I went back, and I just listened to the Cecil episodes, because if I heard Desert Bluffs, and I skipped, it's like, is Cecil back, oh, fuck the weather. And it's like, oh, okay, Cecil's back, and this has been leading up to a good episode. So, yeah. I have a Night Vale poster on my wall. I went to see the live show. So, yeah, I'm a real fan, and when something that I'm a fan of really, really sucks, I'm a fair weather fan. I give up. You know, like the Astros, the Texans. The Texans, I think, are playing today. RG3 and all that crap. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Whatever. Yesterday was college football. Now, you know, one rank below it. Texans are high school football at this point. But you don't give a crap about football. I've been rambling so much. Damn. Let's just go on to Chelsea and see what she's got.
Fork by Chelsea. She sat there on her rock, looking at the forks before her. To her left was her home, a place she was not keen to see again, ever. To her right was the dark forest, full of adventure, mystery, and danger. She'd explored it many times in her youth. Ahead of her, the path was new. The fork had not been there when last she had passed this way. The path was completely obscured by a strange mist, enticing her with only the first few steps. "Here we go," she said, jumping off her rock and disappearing into the mist.
Thank you, Chelsea! Let's go climbing some rocks now. I probably can't. I can barely climb the stairs. I'm so tired. Thank goodness I live on the first floor, right? The beautiful patio and beautiful cats.
Hello, beautiful cat. I bet your butt.
Joan Rivers. Man. Outpatient surgery? Really? Really? That's some bad mojo there. Oh, shit! She died on the table. Oh, my God. Crap. Call an ambulance. Holy shit, that's gonna fuck up their advertising. Man, just... And she worked till she dropped. You know, she always said that. And she didn't want to go quietly or peacefully. I mean, with her, how can she? But, man, some of the... Just sad. I tweeted a silly one, which was... I tried to set my flag to half-mast, but her plastic surgeon kept lifting it back up. Or was it I tried to lower the flag? Shit, I don't know. I don't remember. Just look at the damn Twitter feed. And it's there. And whatever. Let's go. Tura, are you feeling okay? Let's see what you're up to.
The preacher said, "There are no forks in the road. Only different paths to the same destination." One replied, "Tell us of this destination." He answered, "The end of all paths, the cessation of suffering, the reward obtained by the holy men of all ages." Another sneered, "I know this riddle. The answer is death." The priest's acolytes drew machine guns and mowed down the congregation. "They were a miserly lot," said the priest, as they rifled the bodies for jewellery and fat wallets. Mining them out is a shorter branch of this fork than waiting on a trickle of donations.
You know, if I were elected to some sort of public office that required a swearing-in, or I became a cop or a fireman or something that required me to put my hand on a book and swear in, it wouldn't be a Bible, it wouldn't be a Torah. God knows it wouldn't be a Quran. But if Torah printed a book of stories, I'd use that book. I'd swear in on it. Sometimes I get really wrapped up in the, oh, I wish Allison were here, or I wish Caleb would get over himself and come back, or is Will off the drugs yet? Can he come back? Or I wish all these other people would come in. You know, fuck them. You gotta appreciate the people that are with you. Until they leave, then fuck them. But, Torah, week in, week out, I don't have a glass of something to raise the toast to. Nope, wait, I have a coffee mug with Bailey's in it, which is probably a dumb idea with the, I think it was DayQuil, it may have been NyQuil. What do you think? So raise your glasses, unless you're driving and you need your glasses to drive. Next up is Zach Man. Let's hear it. Put on your seatbelts.
I fight with rice. The food, not the football player. I remember attempting to eat rice in a Japanese restaurant with chopsticks. Being alone that day, I was more nervous and self-conscious than I usually am. I did poorly. A waitress walked up to me, smiled, then commanded, "You will use a fork." A friend assured me that if I practiced, I could get good enough to get every last grain of rice on the plate. Now, after living with a Pinoy, I can't eat rice with a fork anymore, or with chopsticks, only with a spoon.
Thank you, Zach, man, for pointing out something very, very important. I eat rice with a spoon, too. Sometimes I get all elitist and I'm like, oh, I'm going to use the chopsticks. I'm going to be cool. And if the rice isn't sticky, then that plan fails quickly. You know, if it falls in stupid gaijin and they're non-sticky rice. I haven't used the rice maker in a while. It may be broken, which means, yay, I get to go shopping for a new rice maker. I don't know if I'm going to do it today. I might do it on the way home tomorrow. I was supposed to get milk and juice on the way home on Thursday. Didn't. Friday, didn't. Saturday morning, I wake up, I'm ready to tell the stories in SL. Gina wakes up, kind of blurry, looks for milk in the fridge. Oops. Yeah. What do you think I did right after that? Huh? And then I had to go back out for a Chromecast. It was only $35. The amount of money that I've spent on Texas A&M. I'm a rice grad. So that's what makes it even weirder. And I'm going to the game this Saturday, unless I get a fucking cold. But that's just weird. How about Dionysus? Let's listen to him.
Hi, Dionysus Close here with a story based on fork. This one is called A Childhood Memory. I remember the first time I ever used a fork. As soon as Ma and Gaga left, the babysitter called her boyfriend. I grumbled a bit from the playpen. Before long, he showed up with beer and Bud. They were decidedly interested in the contents of each other's pants, but not mine. Nothing could deter them from the inevitable. even as I watched through my screams. Their lust sated, they fell on the contents of our refrigerator. At last they thought of me. "The little dude is hungry," said the boyfriend. "What does he eat?" "Nothing with a fork," I thought as I jabbed it through his eye.
Thank you, Dionysus. And now I'm going to start wearing swim goggles or a welder's mask because all these forks getting jabbed in eyes. Man, you people are vicious, said the person who annihilates the earth at least one story a week. Wow. Good girl. Yes, you are. All the sleeps and everything. I posted up a photo on the Flickr feed of Tinny and Mist when they're outside during the day. There's actually light, so you can see them. And you can see her pretty blue eyes. And you can actually see Mist, because there's light and her fur gets shiny as opposed to inside when indoor light. You know, there are people who return black cats after they adopt them because they can't take photos of them too well. And that's just pure evil. Well, the cats are pure evil. But the people are pure evil, too. All kitties love. You give them love, they'll give you love back. Or maybe they'll scratch you or bite you or something. And even when they do love you. Mist? Yeah, she nibbles and chews and gives me pokes with her claws out when I'm trying to sleep. It's too late to give her back. You know, these rambles aren't as bad when I limit to a minute 35. Let's go with Normal Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, author of Flypaper Boy, Coming of Age, coming to an Amazon near you on September 22nd. And I've learned how to electronically sign an ebook. There's a trick to it, but I've learned how. So here's my entry for the weekly challenge number 437, I think it is, with a prompt of fork. I've named my story this time, and its name is A Fork in the Road. So, here's my story. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. Boy, was I surprised. I figured, somebody went this way, or there wouldn't be a trail. A couple miles along, I ran into this guy who wasn't at all happy to see me. I thought maybe he was a hiker or a hippie or a Democrat. When I got close, I saw he had a gun and a pit bull. He said I'd be smarter to go the other way. I might live longer. He said he was a farmer. I thought farmers were friendlier than that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Normal Joe. Signing ebooks. That's kind of cool. What, you don't just sign a thing and take a photo of it and put it on there? Or is there this some sort of digital signature? Ooh, we're in the future, Jetsons. Rosie the Robot and Elroy and the Jane, stop this crazy thing. Is that how George Jetson signs things? I think the Baileys and the cold medicine are having a discussion, which means there are going to be lots and lots and lots of production issues. Hopefully I get this right. Most people would apologize in advance, but I prefer to just apologize when you catch me after I've done it. No sense in bringing attention to it until you actually notice. You do notice, right? Yeah. Oh, Danny. Danny is back. Wow. Hey, I've said all along, if the topic doesn't inspire, take a break, let it sit in the back burner, and if it does, go for it. And if you don't have the time for it, I'll put up the story in the show feed later on. It's okay. Take your time, man. We'll be here, I think. Are we here? Where are we? I can't remember.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here. With my entry for this week's challenge, 437, Fork. Esau is an elderly blind man who lives in a small remote cabin on the edge of a majestic lake in the northwestern territories of Canada. Every morning, Esau grabs his walking stick and heads to the fork in the road in front of his cabin, choosing a different direction to walk each day. Regardless which direction Esau takes, he always winds up back at the same fork in the road by his cabin, because the road simply winds around the lake. Life gives you the illusion of choice, when in reality, we all end up in the same place. If you want to hear more of my stories, or read more of my stories, come visit my page at dannydwyer.wordpress.com.
Come and visit his page, he'll be waiting for you, and leave a comment on there, or maybe two. Thank you, Danny. And see, that's the short shameless plug. That's how you do it. You just, hey, this is my site. Hey, check it out. Or not. I don't care. And then the passive aggressiveness begins. I forgot where I was. I think Julie sent one in, but she didn't send in a recording. I checked the spam filters. I checked the oil filters. I checked the air filters. If she sends in the recording, I'll post it up. If not, the text will be in the show notes. She's already Facebooked and all that other stuff. At least she knows not to ask me to record it for her. There are some people that still will say, oh, I didn't have the time, you recorded it for me. I'm like, delete. Let's not go down that road, shall we? Let's go down a happy path. Lizzie, you've been wondering where Lizzie is, but she took her time on this one. She noodled over this, and these are Portuguese noodles, so you know they're good. Lizzie? Doug, let's hear it.
The man stormed out of the restaurant screaming. He ran around aimlessly before collapsing onto a pile of snow. Upon closer inspection, the police officer realized that the man had a fork stuck in his eye. Some said it was an accident, others a bet. When the officer got closer, the man lifted his face from the snow and smiled. What a ride! The officer was baffled. Suddenly, the man stood up and took off running. The ambulance eventually caught up with him in a field, digging for money, he said. Oh, yeah. It was a bet, concluded the officer. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com and have a wonderful week. I'll talk to you next Sunday. Bye-bye.
Sunday. Thank you, Lizzie. There are actually a lot of people at the story reading on Saturday, but not too many. I mean, there's a point at which I'll go, really? Were you expecting me to say something really fucking stupid this week? Maybe with Joan Rivers' death, because she said some things, you know, coming around the clubhouse turn there that really pissed off a lot of people. And on the feeds, of course, when she died, you will burn in hell for hating on him and all that stuff. There was actually one classy one from someone saying, you know, I will not judge. That is Allah's thing to do. Which in a way is judging too. You know, don't, if it's not your thing to judge, shut your fucking mouth. Me, I judge. So, like, yesterday was Roger Waters' birthday, sadly. So my sentiment is, oh damn, well, hopefully he doesn't have too many more. Fuck the asshole. So, there. You were wondering when I'd say something really whacked. There's still the closing. Well, there's also Planet Z, but he writes his own stuff.
Amir came to our school as an exchange student. He was pretty good with the language, but some idioms threw him off. The phrase, stick a fork in it, it's done, threw him for a while. He was always sticking forks into things. Thank goodness that he never stabbed a cheerleader or an electrical outlet. Some guys on the football team tried to convince him that he should use the phrase, that's the bomb. But even Amir knew that was pretty fucking stupid to say. Besides, the authorities determined that the locker room fire was a gas leak.
Hello, hi, I'm a cat, but I'm waving at you. Look at my pretty tail.
Oh, hey, hi. Well, that's it for this week's weekly challenge on the topic of fork. Hopefully, people don't go around going, hey, I heard a bunch of stories about poking a fork in my eye. Maybe I'll go do that. But none of you sound like that. So, you say it in your own voice. What's the next topic? Vice. So you can check out the archives. I don't know why I keep saying one a day until the day I die.com. It's not like they press this on vinyl and send it to the third world or smuggle it up their ass into North Korea. It's not like they can get to that site. What's the point? I don't know how people grow their podcast. Me, my goal is to shrink it. I don't know how it started, you know, whatever, but if I haven't driven you off by now, please, in your weekly challenge submission for Vice, let me know what I can do to piss you off for good. But that's just the cold medicine talking through me as opposed to the normal demonic possession. I'll see you all next week. Until then, thank you very much for being a part of the weekly challenge. And, as always, keep it brief.